You're listening to Minor Talk On Demand exclusively on 600 ESPN El Paso. Stay up to date with Minor Talk by downloading the free 600 ESPN El Paso mobile app.
All right, we are live. It is Minor Talk presented by the Oscar Arrieta Agency. Hey, big shout out to the Oscar Arrieta Agency for joining us the entire season here on Minor Talk. Whether it's your home, your auto, your life insurance, trust the experts at the Oscar Arrieta Agency here in El Paso. You can give them a call at 915-400-6000 or visit their website, OscarArrietaAgency.com. Man, oh man, we get a chance to talk about a UTEP heartbreaking loss here in the conference tournament. I'm calling it a heartbreaker, just knowing the hype and all the excitement that happened between, less than 24 hours ago leading into today's game, and everybody was so excited. Fans thought there was a legitimate shot at getting back to the NCAA tournament. Sal Montes, Alberto Retta, back at our River Oaks property, Schoolyard Sports Studios. They got a chance to witness this entire season throughout its extent. And UTEP, despite the roller coaster of a season, despite everything that happened all season long, they managed to get to the Conference USA Tournament title game, and they lost it to Western Kentucky. It was a matchup that, the Miners had their high points. They led this game for 8 minutes, but for the most part, Western Kentucky had control of this game, let's be honest, and I felt like the Miners, they probably were gassed out. And that's not the excuse I'm giving you. I'm just saying that at this point, it was McHenry outlasting UTEP in this one. It was Western Kentucky putting up 44 points in the paint, and the Miners, they guarded in back-to-back games against both Liberty and Sam Houston State, and I think in this one, they guarded the best they could, but the perimeter, they killed it from there, playing on defense, but other than that, it was just tough for the Miners to do it. What can you really say against this team right here? The fact that they were this resilient to make it to this point, the fact that they had everybody really in El Paso rallying and talking about UTEP hoops here in this area, and everybody was intently watching this game here for the Miners to try to break that streak of 14 long years of missing the NCAA tournament. Fans thought, could this be the opportunity for them to do it? And unfortunately, Sal, it is a no. This team will finish off 18-16. They finished off as the fifth seed in Conference USA, and they made it all the way to the championship. And Joe Golding, after the game, said that, he felt like this one really ignited the beast of the UTEP fan base. Do you agree with that statement there, Sal? Do you kind of feel like the way that this season ended, despite the up and down roller coaster ride of this season, do you feel like this run to the Conference USA Tournament Championship game kind of erased the history of this entire season and makes you feel different about this UTEP basketball team?
It's hard to say that it erases everything completely, but I can answer it by saying this, though. If you would have told me, hey, UTEP's going to make the Conference USA championship game after losing to New Mexico State in Cruces the way they did, after blowing that amazing lead to Florida International on the road, if you would have told me that after those games and some of the other losses where they just looked completely out of it, I would have said you're crazy. So I can't say it completely erases it, because I remember those games and I've seen a lot of the lows this year. But I can answer it by saying this too. I do feel better about how it finished rather than what was going on in the middle of Conference USA play and even the latter half of non-conference play.
No, you're exactly right. Hey, I'm going to switch it over to Alberto. Alberto, give me your full reaction to this one right here. You got a chance to hear yesterday on Sports Talk. You were producing it. Special thanks again for you doing that, man. But you got a chance to hear a lot of people reacting all throughout Sports Talk as well. Sal, you called in earlier on Minor Talk yesterday and heard everybody react. Everybody was just so excited about this run. How does this run to the Conference USA Championship title game, how does this change your opinion, or does it change your opinion on this year's team?
I think it does change my opinion on the team, because during their losing streaks, I personally was so down on them. So seeing them and turn it around kind of here at the end and make this kind of run, it really changes my opinion on what the team was made of deep down. You know, I know what they were at the surface, but I didn't know what they were made up when it came down to tough games like that. And they came through, and obviously they had a tough matchup here in the last one. And so that was really rough, but, I mean, they battled it to the end, and what else can you ask for?
I hear what you're saying, man. I mean, I think, this run right here, the only thing you could have asked for is them winning this one and actually punching their ticket to the NCAA tournament. And that right there, you know, just knowing what kind of season it was for the Miners, maybe it just wasn't meant to be this year, but maybe this is the stepping stone of what's ahead here in the future. I know a lot of fans are bummed after this one, but we'd love to hear your thoughts. 915-505-6009. We're going to get our phones started here on the program. Twitter is blown up. I mean, it was blowing up all throughout yesterday, and I expect this one to be an interesting Miner talk. There's a lot of ways that we can turn. We could talk about the future. We're going to, of course, talk about the transfer portal. We're going to talk what we've got going on Twitter right now. We're asking fans a lot of different questions, okay? I threw this one out there on social media, Twitter and X. Number one, using only one word, how would you describe the 2023-2024 UTEP basketball team? Who do you want back for the Miners next year? And then what is your biggest hope for year four of Joe Golding next year? So that's my those are the four ones right there, or three questions right there. 915-505-6009, 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X, and then 600 ESPN El Paso online, where you could read about this run. You could also check out our free mobile app as well, 600 ESPN El Paso. Let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. We are going right now to Twitter and X. Joe Chacon, the easy layups and points in the paint have haunted the Miners all year. Let's go, Miners. Hashtag Miner Talk. Poncho, fairy tale ended with 13 minutes left in the second half. UTEP basketball forgot how to score, and they went back to turning the ball over. Sadly, this will probably get Joe Golding an extension maybe next year. Hashtag Miner Talk. You know, Sal, I didn't want to talk extension this early in the show, but I think we just have to do it. I think we just have to talk about everything, right? I mean, whether it's the transfer portal, I think everything is fair game today, talking about who we think is going to come, who we think are going to come back, who we don't, early offseason predictions and stuff like that. So let's just talk about the extension, right? It doesn't matter about what you think. It doesn't matter about what I think. It doesn't matter about what our callers think, what Twitter thinks, whatever. It just matters about what Jim Center and that athletic department think about this run right here. And if they're evaluating this run and thinking, man, all the excitement, all the magic, this was all created because of Joe Golding and this run. Do you, he's in year four going into 2024-25 season, do you give him an extension, Sal, on everything you've seen so far if you are Jim Center going into this offseason?
No, I don't think an extension is warranted fully, just based off of the lack of results since he's been here, coming off of an NCAA tournament win. Now, I get it. Last year was a bit of a down year, and then this year down, but kind of trending upwards. I'll say this, it's depending on what they do next year would definitely warrant it, but it's too early to tell, Agent. I think the expectation is going to be there next year, but I can't say after this year, no.
So that's an interesting point, right? Because usually they look at that this year going into the fourth year, and then, you know, you see fifth year ahead. Usually from the coach's side, from that agent's perspective, they want a little bit more certainty that they're going to be here. So think about this. You know, they're talking about getting KJ Thomas, who's the high school signee, and that's one of the big ones that they're really excited about. Jorge Moreno is also coming into the mix as well, but he's a junior college transfer. They've got to talk to these recruits about the future, and it's hard to talk about the future if your coach is only under contract for 2 years. So from an admin perspective, I'm curious to see what they see on this and how Joe Golding's side maybe looks to try to get that extension. You know, maybe they push for two more years on top of his current deal right now. I'm not sure. I mean, this is an instant reaction after the loss today in the conference tournament. Again, it doesn't matter what we think. Maybe behind closed doors, this is already going on, and I'd be curious to know that from the athletic department standpoint. But it's definitely a good question, definitely a good point, and we can definitely talk about that here on the program as we continue. 915-505-6009. I know we got Ruben coming up here first on the phone lines. We'll get to Ruben here. I'm just checking Pinky. He has this one. Great run by the Miners. Thanks for giving us excitement and hope to all Miner fans. Looking forward to next year. Heads up, hashtag Miner Talk. This is coming in from Leo underscore Miners fan. I am upset about the mistakes, but I'm not entirely mad at this team. They had one hell of a run in March. The fan base was energized. Hashtag picks up. What will this team look like next year? Hashtag NIL. I'll get to the roster makeup of next year's team and what it could look like here in a little bit. Let's go to Ruben first. He's joining us to get things started here on Miner Talk. 915-505-6009. Ruben, good evening, man. What's going on?
Hey, thanks for having me. Listen, I'm just really concerned because those last couple of losses at the Don, it seemed to me like the Miners were very confused. They didn't really have an offense. They were driving into crowds. They were passing out from inside the lane where they should be taking shots. And it seemed like they were so misguided, like almost they didn't have a game plan. And that's the thing I held against Coach Golding, is that it didn't seem like he was teaching them an offense. And this is a very talented group. You know, we were so excited the first couple of games of the year. Very talented group. So I would have to say, just from looking at that offense at the end of the year in the Don, I said, man, this team is just totally lost. They don't have a game plan. They don't have an offense. That's what I saw. I don't know who agrees with me on that, but. It was,
but
it was
okay. I mean, I hear what you're saying there, Ruben. I mean, look, Ruben, as far as the offensive inefficiencies, I think they've been there all year. I mean, you're talking about the last two games of the home series, which, by the way, they lost, or they won their last home game against Florida International. But I felt like their offensive problems were there all season long. And in the tournament, it was just different guys showing up and really scoring points for the Miners. I mean, yesterday was the Corey Camper Jr. game. He was killing it. And so, I mean, I thought that they got a lot today from Zid Powell in terms of scoring and driving to the basket, but to have that cohesion and maybe kind of like, you know, beautiful basketball and inside out game, they don't have a big to throw down to down low who's going to score. So they don't really have an inside threat. That's why you see a lot of heavy guard play and them kind of run through their guards here to try to find success.
So we're losing all the seniors. So I'm worried about this team. I'm definitely worried. But anyway, thanks for having me on and continue the great work.
Hey, I appreciate it, Ruben. Thanks for weighing in. 915-505-6009. Let's talk about the roster for next year, right? Because Tay Hardy is gone. He's graduating. Zid Powell graduating as well. Same with Calvin Solomon and, of course, Jonathan Dos Anjos. Those guys are all moving on to greener pastures and just, of course, graduating from the program. Next year, Corey Camper Jr. is eligible to come back along with Otis Frazier and Kevin Kalu. Those will be the seniors next year, along with possibly Baylor Hebb, who could come back into the mix. And then you talk about guys, the freshmen, the three freshmen, Trey Horton, of course, Elijah Jones and David Terrell Jr. On top of that, you're also talking about Derek Hamilton, who emerged in the latter part of the season, Sebastian Cole, Garrett Levesque, and Antoine Holmes. Sebastian Cole, Garrett Levesque, and Antoine Holmes are all three walk-ons. I do expect those guys to return back, you know, with the squad. And then, so what you're looking at right there, if you add Moreno and you add Thomas into the mix, you subtract Terrell, and you also, excuse me, you subtract Powell, you subtract Hardy, you subtract Dos Anjos, and you also subtract Solomon, then Sal, it's looking like around three or four scholarships here, at least right now, going to next year's roster. So the glaring spot that UTEP needs to fill next year, in my opinion, is a true big man. A big man who they can throw in stretches, a big man who's athletic and stretch the floor and really, give something that UTEP's never had under Golding, and that's a reliable big who they can really, play big minutes for them and they can use offensively. And then on the other side of that, finally get a shooter, get somebody who could be a reliable knockdown scorer for you from the perimeter and really get something like that. I think they hoped that they had that in Baylor Heb, Sal. But, you know, with this year's squad, that just didn't come to fruition. He came late into the mix as a mid, you know, an NCAA transfer from last year. And I think that that's one of those things right there. When you're looking at roster making, those are the two first places I would start. I want to get the two or the places that you would start as far as next year's roster. But let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Minor Talk, brought to you by the Oscar Arrieta Agency. We'll hear from Sal in less than 10 seconds here on 600 ESPN El Paso.
Welcome back to Minor Talk. Sal Montes here along with Alberto Ureta and our main man, Adrian Broadus from the West Coast, doing a little bit of time traveling. So, yeah, back to it, Adrian. I think as far as the makeup goes, definitely need a big out there. That would be priority number one. Find somebody who's reliable, and I mean that in two different senses. One, who's disciplined on defense and isn't going to be out of position and consistently fouling. I think that's something that really hurt the momentum for UTEP this year. Just a lot of you know, momentum being killed by dumb fouls, and then also at the same time too, not taking care of the basketball and killing momentum that way. So somebody who's disciplined out there, and then on the other front, want somebody who's going to be able to grab the board and push it in transition. And another part too, I would say maybe in the middle. I think the middle would be best, maybe like a three or a four, if they can get somebody who's
like
a three
that.
Or a four to play those position specifically and not have to go to a big due to, you know, fouling or whatever the case is. That's going to lead to a lot more continuity and guys being able to do what they got to UTEP by doing, right? If you have a two consistently playing a three when that's not really their forte, causes problems. And the same could be said for threes and fours consistently playing a five and, you know, having to be a big when they're a slasher. So that's what I want to see.
I like it. Let's swing it to you, Alberto. You tell me any other things that you want to see from UTEP here as they build out their next roster for next season. And you kind of see the pieces that could return back for another year.
I just want to see them make good decisions in the offseason. You know, I don't know many names right now, but I know that whoever they come in, they have to be able to put up with the harsh fan base that doesn't allow a lot of bad play. So yeah, they got to come in with some tough skin. They got to be some good ball players and be ready to compete, play some good defense. It's all that I think I can ask for. I'm not really sure who they're going to go for, but they have to spend their money wisely.
Yeah, I mean, there's no names out there right now because it's, I mean, the transfer portal is not even open yet, so there's no names who are available yet. But like you said, you just want somebody who's going to be hard-nosed defensive players and who's going to fit the Joe Golding mold. So I like it. I see what you're saying there. Let's keep it moving on Twitter next. 915-505-6009 as we continue. Pick my axe 915. A relatively strong ending to the season. Props to the guys and the coaches for rallying up to this point. They just ran into a better team that could match their punches. Hope Joe Golding builds upon it. Trolley Dodgers, the scoring droughts. My gosh, the scoring droughts. Yeah, and you know, guys, I mean, if we're going to really do X's and O's in this one, I think the scoring droughts were just too much to overcome. Sal, I hated how the Miners started in this one. I mean, there's no way to even, you know, sugarcoat it. It was really tough. And yeah, they've been resilient all Conference USA tournament long, but at some point you can't play yourself into these mistakes and expect to still come out with a win.
If you play with fire long enough, you're going to get burned. And I think that's exactly, you know, what happened tonight. Now, they showed grit. They were able to come back from that early start that was just atrocious. And they found themselves up by seven somehow in the second half. But, you know, around that, 13-minute mark or so, they got into another drought again. And you can't do that when the window's closing. You got to be able to squeeze through. And it was just getting too close, near the middle of the second half and after that. So another thing too, Adrian, is Western Kentucky has a good roster, a phenomenal coach, and Coach Lutz as well. And you got to see what they were doing all day as well. So although UTEP may have had some magic in certain you know, spots. Western Kentucky was just ahead of the ball pretty much all game, making
no, they really were.
And I was talking to Alberto about this as well yesterday. A big reason why UTEP was able to knock off the one seed in Sam Houston is Sam Houston was terrible from the free throw line, and that opened the door for UTEP. The window closed, but the door opened, and they ran through. Today, Western Kentucky was able to be more than respectable from the line, and you know, attack the cup and get buckets those ways. You keep on doing it if it's working. So it wasn't a fluke of anything. Western Kentucky, just the better team tonight.
Just the better team, simply put. And good point there, Sal. I really like that. I mean, look, they had 46% of their shots go in from the field. They had forced 19 turnovers against the Miners. They grabbed more rebounds than the Miners. They had 44 points in the paint. They led for almost 30 minutes of this one. And yeah, I mean, they led this one almost wire to wire. You just simply put, this team was just the better team on the floor tonight in a given matchup. Manny David, this is coming in from him at Garcia25. It's a disappointing loss. Oh, what could have been. Turnovers and second half scoring drought doomed the Miners. Pretty much a home game for Western Kentucky. I'm still proud of this team. Not many expected them to make it this far. Hashtag Miner Talk. Travis Allen Fortune. Losing hurts, but getting to the finals sets up the Miners really well for next year. The returners gain invaluable experience and gives Golding a new recruiting pitch. I expect the Miners to get over the hump next year. Herman Flores, good run to finish the season after a very inconsistent and disappointing regular season. Sal, I'll just say this, man. Don't take these conference championship appearances for granted, man. And don't just think they're going to come back right away. I mean, this window of opportunity was there for the Miners, and I don't want to say they missed the window of opportunity, but you just don't take these appearances for granted, because the last time they were in this situation was 2011. We're talking 13 years ago since UTEP's done this. I mean, are we going to see this right away yet next year? It's unfair to say that on either side, right?
No, it definitely is unfair to say that, because this was a Cinderella type of story. The UTEP, in theory, shouldn't even have been there. It should have been Sam Houston against La Tech. And guess what? They didn't meet up because they got knocked out early or in the middle of the tournament. So it's definitely not guaranteed. And that just goes in general for any kind of sports. We can even flip it over to football. The Cincinnati Bengals made it to the Super Bowl some years ago and haven't, you know, been back since. Joe Burrow, I know we're going off track here, but Joe Burrow was a young quarterback at that time, right? And hasn't been there since. Now, that's not to say they can't make it. Obviously, he's still very young. But what I'm getting at is what you did today isn't going to guarantee tomorrow. So they got to find ways to capitalize off of this momentum, that's for sure. But there's absolutely no guarantee. And hey, other teams are going to get better in Conference USA too. They're not just going to look at what you did and you know, make way for you. And also too, there's going to be a target on their back because of the expectations after meeting the Conference USA championship game this year.
No doubt about it. I mean, the one thing that you could say is with a 10-team Conference USA next year, because remember, it's 9-team this year, Kennesaw State joins next year. So a 10-team Conference USA next year, I think it sets up for the Miners to have success in the league tournament. But you're right, Sal. I mean, you just take a team like Liberty, who the Miners beat in the first round of the tournament. You don't think the Flames are going to be better next year than they were this year?
Man.
Of course they will be. Yeah. They're not going to settle for that. And those teams have the NIL backing. So you talk about UTEP, who has their NIL established. Well, some of those schools have had NIL established since its infancy, since before NIL was even a thing. They were paying their players, right? So you know, for some of these teams,
and they're pretty business as usual.
I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Those $100 handshakes for sure. Hey, Manny David, still love the Miners, and I'm darn proud of this team. Now it's time for me to root for our neighbors up the road in the tournament. Go Lobos, hashtag go Miners. Ryan Hemming. Joe Golding is absolutely the right coach to lead this program. If he could do it at Abilene Christian, he could do it at UTEP. This is momentum. Ryan Guzman, heck of a run for the Miners. This team doesn't get here without Coach Joe Golding. I'm Team Golding, even though I admittedly had doubts during the regular season. Hats off to Adrian, Sal, and the entire team at 600 ESPN El Paso for another great Miner Talk season. I agree with that. Let's go back to what we were asking people at 600 ESPN El Paso. Casa. We had asked a series of questions. I want to get this from Alberto, and I definitely want to get this from Sal later on here as well. Number one, using one word, how would you describe this team? Who do you want back next year for the Miners? And then what is your biggest hope in year four of Joe Golding next year? Let's go. Let's do it, okay? Miner Illustrated, number one, unacceptable. Number three, they're not being a year four. Wow, that's brutal. There's still some fans out there who are out on head coach Joe Golding. And you know what? I would say this to them, Sal, is I would say, hey, this run right here, I think a lot of it has to – you got to give Joe Golding a lot of credit for this run,
absolutely,
too.
Yeah.
I mean, you could say a lot about the players and how they turn things around. And, of course, you know, this special run. And you can also hold this team accountable for having struggles in the regular season. But when it mattered, they put themselves in a position to be one game away from the NCAA tournament. How could you call that or how could you knock the head coach for that right there? It's not about how you start, not about the middle of the season, not about Conference USA. It's how you finish. And they were in the league championship game right there. So to me, Joe Golding's not the problem right now.
You know what? I'll do you one better than being in the championship game. They were 13 minutes away from punching their ticket. Just ran into a buzzsaw that was Western Kentucky, who, just like UTEP, was playing their best basketball of the year at the right time. They just happened to do so in the final game. So, no, they absolutely deserve a ton of credit. The players, you know, adapting and adjusting to the style of play for Coach Golding. And then also on the flip side, Coach Golding kind of adapting his coaching style and meeting those guys in the middle. So you got to give them credit, man. They definitely finished a lot better than what people would have expected, myself included, based off of how they played in the middle of the year.
Some guy, Chris, he chimes in. He says he's calling this team the Rowers. I like it. And that plays off yesterday's Miner Talk when people were talking about how Joe Golden bought rowing gear after, you know, out of the academy or something like that to try to get the team to row in the right direction. Number two on the players he wants coming back. This is from some guy, Chris. He says David Terrell Jr., Corey Camper, Otis Frazier III, Kevin Kalu, Derek Hamilton, and Elisha Jones. Most notably leaving out Baylor Hebb there. And then he also said finding shooters and better bucket creators for next year. Okay, good stuff there, Chris. I like it. This is from Ryan Guzman. He's calling this team resilient. He says, I want Joe Golding back next year, plus a pure scorer and whoever the staff decides and should want to bring back. And then number three, he says, what is your biggest hope next year? Let's go dancing. Rod Munch, he says, you know, he's calling this season trash, and then for number three, he hopes that Joe Golding is not coaching UTEP next year. Man, this is from Adrian at Enemy Win 3. He says, for number one, he says, good enough as the way he would describe this season. Number two, Terrell. All he says is for a player to come back next year, David Terrell Jr. I like it. And then for number three, his hope next year is NIT. Sal, can we just say this right now? UTEP's not going to the NIT this year. Can we please just make this clear to everybody?
Yeah.
I mean, this is and Adrian's tweet to us was for next year, but I saw some people asking me and some people on Twitter and stuff talking about postseason for the Miners. That's not happening. Can we just clear that right now?
Yeah, there's no postseason as far as the NIT NCAA tournament goes. I will say this though, Adrian, we've seen teams with mediocre records or so go on to some of these lower level tournaments. So,
you're ready for another one. You're ready for a CBI? You're ready for a CIT?
I'm not ready for that.
Zay is ready.
Oh my gosh. Come on, man. This is 2024. We need more than that. No, I mean, whatever. Who knows? But if it's a pay to play tournament,
I'm not for it, man.
If it's a pay to play, don't even go.
Okay, can I sell you on this, right? Okay, just for the record, I'm not in on this. I'm not in on this. I don't want this. But can I sell you in on this, okay?
Okay.
If I'm somebody from UTEP and I tell you, hey, Sal, we have a lot of expectations and a lot of hope for next year. We would love to give our fans one last treat. Let's go into the Basketball Classic postseason tournament. It's meaningless. And we're going to play all these teams, and we have opportunity to host all these teams out at the Don Haskins Center. And you know what? For our fans, let's do it. For the fans that were robbed of a really, truly good season, let's give them one more run with these seniors right here, guys like Zid Powell, guys like Tay Hardy, guys like DeSanjos and Calvin Solomon. Let's do one more run, one more rodeo. What would you say to that right there?
I would say no thanks. I would say this season has kind of just ran its course. I can't do this anymore, Adrian. There's no way. Because let's say this. If they bow out in an ugly fashion, that kind of, you know, I don't want to say completely obliterates, but it leaves an uglier taste in your mouth going out like that and kind of wiping out what you did in the final five games or so to make it to the Conference USA Championship. So, nah, man. I'm not sold.
Okay, Alberto, are you sold at all? Can you be talked in at all at this right here? UTEP hosting some postseason tournament action, whatever level it is, would you be talked in at this at any level right here?
If they can make the monetary side make sense, then you could probably talk me into it. If you talk enough dollars and cents and it makes money for UTEP to host this thing and get some fans in there, then yeah, maybe I might maybe accept and let the season continue. But yeah, if it's not monetary beneficial to UTEP, then I'd probably say no.
Okay, that makes sense. I like your point.
I got one.
I think that's a really good one. Okay,
go ahead. Selling point. If there is money to be made, and a portion of those of that money is kind of like a NIL for the teams involved in the tournament, then okay. And I think that's going to happen like a preseason or an in-season tournament next year. I don't have the official name, so I'll just look it up out there. There's a proposal or something. But if there's some sort of a monetary gain for the guys involved, all right, then cool.
That's actually a really good point. Actually, you're pioneering something, Sal. Hey, everything said on Minor Talk is trademarked by us, so no one can steal these ideas. If there's a tournament out there looking to steal something like this right here, Sal, you're giving out good free advice. I like it. I'll say this. I'm totally out on this idea for the reason that Sal gave, is that I think that, you know, this year right here, how do you want to remember this year? I want to remember this year as the team being resilient and the team making an unprecedented run all the way to the Conference USA tournament and playing for a chance to be maybe the worst record UTEP basketball team to make an NCAA tournament. I mean, really, that was their reality right there. No team from UTEP, you know, as a fifth seed had ever won a tournament, a conference tournament in UTEP history. They had chance to do that. Let's remember them by that. Let's not remember them by the team that lost in the, you know, second round of the basketball classic or the CIT or the CBI. I'm just not for it. Maybe I could be talked into it. You know, there's times where this ends up happening behind closed doors, that talks gain momentum, people are about it on the team, team makes a vote, and then they, you know, accept this invite and then they go off and do this postseason run. I'm just going to tell you right now that I'm not for it, and I think that this was an emotional roller coaster for a lot of people involved, not us, but a lot of the players, the coaches, and the administration, just to go on this run right here, that I think this deserves some kind of finality right here. This is the final part of the season, in my opinion, and I think this is how I want to remember this group right here, finishing in the conference tournament, not necessarily going into one of these secondary tournaments instead. 915-505-6009. More from that poll right here. Okay, let's continue. Or not poll, but just what we were posting on Twitter and X. Felix at Castañón Law. The Miners had a good run recently, but let's not forget how the Don Haskins Center was at the end of the season. Dwindling attendance, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 attendance isn't going to cut it. Well, Felix, I'll just tell you this, man. That's kind of the reality right now of basketball in Conference USA. And for UTEP basketball, they've actually had a lot of, you know, UTEP is still second in attendance, which is crazy, Sal, but that just tells you that no one in Conference USA is really supporting these different, you know, teams in basketball.
No, you're absolutely right. And a conference that obviously the landscape of it has completely changed. Teams that are in it now weren't in Conference USA, you know, 5-6 years ago. Some of them weren't even FCS or, yes. You know, they were FCS, not FBS some years ago. So it's completely different. But Conference USA, in my opinion, has always kind of been a basketball league. And some of these schools have a, you know, somewhat of a respectable history, similar to UTEP, you know, where they were a powerhouse in a certain decade. So some wins by those teams can definitely get the place rocking. And if UTEP is that high in the rankings when it comes to attendance for Conference USA. If they're a smidge better when it comes to home games, and especially on the road, if they're a lot better on the road, that completely changes things, and they can be number one, you know, by a long shot. So years back, there was mention of like a sleeping giant. If they're able to be good in basketball consistently, and I'm talking like 22, 23 plus wins year in, year out, have a chance at a Conference USA championship, that number is not even going to be close. So it's kind of a misnomer just because of the history for UTEP that they've had to, you know, get fans out there and have these diehards. But it's not where it could be, which is interesting.
Yeah, that is really interesting. Yeah, I like the point, Sal. Let's keep it moving on Twitter next. This is coming in from Trey Chauvin. This is on his side. This is from Trey Chauvin. Great fight. Golden era is bright. I see us back in the same game again next year. Get two sharpshooters and a power forward and keep the core. We're in the big dance next year. Go Miners, and thank you, coaches, and thank you, players. This is coming in from Chi-Town Miner, describing this team. He's using the word gritty. He says Terrell Otis and Horton as the players he wants back for next year. And then for number three, his hope for next year, actually winning consistently. Don't forget, we had two losing seasons in Conference USA in a row, and Golding's only winning year was with Rodney Terry's players. Need to upgrade offensive talent. Not sure the guys announced so far are enough, KJ Thomas and Moreno. No, of course not enough. Of course, Chi-Town Miner, of course not enough. They're going to have to really dig deep in the portal and find some difference makers. We've talked about in the past as far as distribution goes, I would throw the kitchen sink at one major recruit, like one real big difference maker, and then, you know, surround your team by the guys that you want back from this year's squad. That's how I would do it. That's really how I would do it. Andrew, Texas, chimes in. He would describe this team by using the word tough. Then number two, he says, whoever is still eligible to play, he wants everybody back next year. And then for number three, biggest hope for next year is obviously winning the championship and making a run in the dance. But apart from that, we desperately need to be more of a threat offensively. David Corral Jr., one word to describe this team, inconsistent. For number two, hopefully none of the remaining players transfer. And then for number three, he says, I hope for 20-plus wins and a conference and or tournament title. This is from Travis Allen Fortune. He's using the word tough to describe this team. He says everybody with eligibility left, so he wants the whole team back next year. And then for number three, his hope, besides making the NCAA tournament, Golding getting a Don McHenry type of player from the transfer portal. Man, Don McHenry, that getting a player like that would be incredible. Man, he was fabulous, right, Sal? And, you know, props to him. He was first-team All-Conference USA. Don McHenry is going to be playing in the NCAA tournament, and he deserves it, man. 25 points, 9 of 16, was an absolute killer tonight.
And you know what, too, Adrian, to that point, the All-Tournament team was just listed by Conference USA, and of course he's there, Don McHenry, the guard of Western Kentucky. But you pair him with some other guys, Rodney Howard, the forward for the Tops, and then Brandon Newman, the guard for Western Kentucky, absolutely lit it up. Zid Powell making the all-tournament team, as well as Justin Porter. Justin Porter from Middle Tennessee. So, Zid Powell definitely had a solid display in spurts. So, that's your CUSA tournament team.
Dom Grady, this is coming in from Goatmaster. He says, number one, I'm using resilient to describe this team. Camper, Hamilton, Trey, and Terrell as the returners. And then number three, he hopes for stop turnovers and get a half of the dudes who can drop 20 or one or two dudes who can drop 20 plus consistently. Man, if you can get one or two dudes who can drop 20 consistently, that's pretty good, man. That's like recruiting another Tay Hardy. You could do it every single night, although Tay struggled tonight. Let's be honest, you know, 11 points, 5 of 14, struggled tonight. He just could not shoot the way he typically does. Didn't even attempt a free throw, which is tough as well. And, you know, Tay Hardy is somebody who this team relies on, and this team leans on it. He struggled in this one. Otis Frazier III struggled offensively, although he was all over the place. 11 points, 7 rebounds. He had 2 assists as well. So, yeah, man, that's one of those right there. I would say for Tay Hardy, though, this game does not tell you, though, what a career he had. I think out of all the seniors, no one meant more to this basketball program than Tay Hardy. And his run here in the CUSA tournament, the run that he put together himself, he's going to be playing basketball. We talk about basketball players who left UTEP and who are playing professionally overseas or, you know, internationally or whatever it might be. Tay Hardy is going to be a player who plays basketball professionally here in the future, and he's going to make money playing basketball in the future, and he deserves it, man. He's a fabulous basketball player, and I'm excited to follow his career from afar and see what he does. You know, and he's a smart person, so he's somebody who really wants it. He didn't have the game that I'm sure he wanted, and I'm sure there's not a player that's hurting more in that locker room than Tay Hardy, because he was the senior leader of this team. So, you know, I feel bad for him. I feel for all these guys. I feel like this team thought that they could do it, and I feel like this team really had it going their way, you know, going into this matchup. But, you know, just unfortunately for this team, they just simply ran out of gas. We'll get back to Twitter next here in just a moment. 915-505-6009. Let's go to Johnny May. They're joining us next on the phones. Johnny May, what's going on?
Yeah, I just wanted to call in as well.
All right, all right. Tell us your thoughts. Give us your thoughts on this one.
Well, I was at the game, and I noticed that, and I still support Coach Golding, but I honestly feel like it got to a point where Coach Golding did not trust our jump shots, our three-point shooting. We were taking everything to the basket. I don't feel like the officiating was necessarily in our favor in that area. And it was horrible.
How about that one that Zid Powell went all the way to the basket, and Zid Powell goes all the way to the basket and they don't call a foul on that one? Oh, man.
I mean, not just Powell.
That was tough there.
Not just Powell. Calvin Solomon got clustered, and Tay Hardy several times got clustered. So clobbered, clobbered. But
yeah.
I mean, not just once or twice, three or four times. But we can never blame anything on the referees, because that is their job. But I honestly feel like, you know, I would hope that CUSA would reconsider having our tournament. And I think they've already signed the contract. I'm not sure. But this close to Western Kentucky and Middle Tennessee, I can't blame it on that. But anyway, I think that we do need someone who will trust our players when they have proven themselves to make three-point shots. Well, I don't know how to say it, but
yeah, you're saying to Johnny May, I see what you're saying. Like, the people who are going to shoot your three-pointers, typically, like Tay Hardy, let them continue to shoot them. And if you're going to get frustrated, you know, maybe have some leanance, a little bit more, be a little leaner on that kind of stuff, and just accepting on that stuff right there.
I play basketball, and I know that it takes a minute to get a rhythm. So We just gave up on three-point shooting tonight, and basically everything was taken inside. And we kind of, I don't know whether we thought that we would be in an area where the referees may be less biased, but we ended up really, I think, getting the short end of the stick. And I hate to blame it on that type of thing, but yeah, but anyway. Anyway,
I hear you.
Hey,
I appreciate it, Johnny May.
It was a great run for the Miners.
Yeah, it really was. Hey, Johnny May, I appreciate the phone call. Thanks for weighing in on the show, and thanks for hanging with us here on Miner Talk. I appreciate it. Yeah, I hear it was a great run for the Miners, and I think that's what you're going to look back on for this game itself. It's going to frustrate you, and just knowing that UTEP was even in this game, they just fell short in it. And yeah, you could point at a lot of things. You can point at the refs. You can point, of course, at the lack of three-point makes that they were going in. Although the Miners hit 9 three-pointers. They had 24 attempts, 37% from beyond the arc. It's usually better than what they shoot typically from the free throw line, or excuse me, from the 3-point range. But yeah, it's just kind of is what it is, unfortunately, for the Miners in this matchup. Going back to Twitter and X, this is coming in from Tristan Pence. A slow start and seriously perplexing officiating in the second half finished off the Miners tonight. Overall, it was a nice run in the conference tournament, but I think a disappointing season. I hold UTEP to a high standard. Hashtag Miner Talk. Moving forward, there are no more excuses for UTEP and their coaching staff. They need to build around David Terrell. That means recruit some high-level scorers and better talent in the post. Recruiting is key to future tournament runs. Assuming this is the final game of the year, I want to thank Adrian and the rest of the Miner Talk crew for another fun year. You guys do an amazing job, and the callers and the Twitter folks are awesome too. I think we have some exciting football season ahead. Go Miners. Really appreciate you, Tristan. Thanks so much for weighing in. And as far as what you were saying, you know, disappointing season is what you were saying overall, although a great run in the conference tournament. So I like your point there, Tristan. Good stuff. Travis Allen Fortune. This is coming up here right now. Losing hurts, but getting to the finals sets the Miners up really well for next year. I agree. Edgar Montiel, shout out to Krabby Miner and Palo Verde Homes. Sad with the loss tonight. I really thought we were going to do it. Going from last place to the championship game in the last 3 weeks of the season was fun, but we have a lot of work to do to replace Zid Powell and Tay Hardy and then some. What would you grade this season? Hashtag Miner Talk. Ooh, Sal, this is a great question.
Oh, man.
I hate the tough questions, but I love them. Letter grade on the season. Is this a B-? Did this turn from like a C- to a B- for you?
You know what? No, I can't do that. I don't think that's the case. I think it was I'll give you an analogy because this is all I ever do every single second of my life. I'm going to give it a C. And let me tell you why I give it a C, because compared to like a class, right? If you're taking a class and you're failing assignment after assignment, but you do pretty good on your final, you're able to round that average out to just a passing grade. So I think they barely pass and get a C. There's no way I could put a B, not even a B minus.
Wow. Okay, I like it. You're firm C, and you cannot be convinced otherwise. I like the stubbornness, Sal. Let's move it to you, Alberto. You tell me, letter grade on this year's season. Where are you going?
Yeah, I'm going to have to go with B+, and I think just because of the expectations that there was at the halfway point of the season, and even a little later, you know, look, I'll remind folks that at one point they were on a 4-game losing streak, and they went on the road. They were undefeated on the road at that point, I picked them to lose. I won't say we. I'll say I picked them to lose on the road to move them to a 6-game losing streak, and they didn't do that. They turned things around, so they kind of really flipped things at the end there. So I'll give them a B+ for me personally.
Okay, I got it. I'm going to go B-, and it's just because they made it to the conference tournament. It's nothing else. I mean, you could talk to me about the great start. You could talk to me about the really bad points of the season. You could talk to me about the 4-game losing streak. You could talk to me here about the 5-game win streak to close out everything up and get them here into the Conference USA Tournament Championship game. So I'm going to just go, just for those things right there, B-. I probably have a lower standard right now than some of the other high standard UTEP fans. Sal, I think what Sal said is pretty spot on, though. You know, as far as the analogy, it was a passing grade for a team that had a lot of lows this year. And I think this, at least for me, the run right here made me overlook some of the lows, just because I'd rather be UTEP playing for a Conference USA Tournament title game than Sam Houston State, who won the CUSA tournament the regular season and then, isn't even playing playing in the tournament final. So that's just where I'm standing as far as the end of the season goes. But I think I like the firm C, Sal. I think that's a good way to look at it. But none of us have a failing grade on this team.
Yeah.
And like, I think a lot of us said F minus, you know, in late February, or at least F plus, from what, or D minus where they were. What, an eighth seed at one point here?
They
late
were,
to close out the year?
Yeah, they, at some point they were dead last in Conference USA as well.
Right.
And to kind of turn things around and make it to the championship game, it's definitely made up for a lot of the poor play. That's why they get a passing grade. But I was talking to Alberto about this, you know, in the final couple of minutes when Western was running away with it, saying, "Hey, man, this loss it hurts, but it doesn't hurt as much because it wasn't expected for them to get to the championship game. Let's say they were a team like Sam Houston State or Louisiana Tech, who was right behind them in the standings, and you have this amazing season, you know, non-conference and conference, so to speak, and then you bow out in the tournament the way that you did. That's definitely a more sour taste in your mouth than not being expected to make it to the championship game. So I think it definitely kind of erases some of those lows and gets them to that passing grade. But yeah, I still got to stick with my C though.
Back to Twitter next, 600 ESPN El Paso. Let's keep it moving. David Corral Jr., too many turnovers and those scoring droughts did them in. Nonetheless, UTEP finished on a positive note. King Eric, every year it's always the same thing. UTEP can never get over the hump. I'm tired of these moral victories. When is it going to stop and have the ball bounce our way? Oh, this is a, man, this is a depressing one. Sal, you and I have done this for 5 years. This is season 5 of us doing this for Minor Talk. I'm going to ask you, simply put, what was worse, this loss right here in the CUSA tournament championship game or the bowl game loss? What was worse, the PUBG New Mexico?
The bowl game.
The bowl loss.
Bowl game, 100%. You know why? Because they were, what, 6-1? In that season, and it was just a terrible second half of the year. They made it to a bowl game by default. I mean, give me a break here. No, definitely bowl game 100%. When UTEP was 6-1, we expected them to go bowling. We're waiting 2 months for a bowl game, essentially, at that point. Here, we had to wait just a couple of days for them to be 13 minutes away from an NCAA tournament berth. So, give me the bowl game loss.
Okay, which one hurts more? Okay, so disappointing is one thing, but which one hurts more for you think? Like,
bowl game.
When you just compare the two. It's still bowl game.
I think so, too.
I think you're right.
You have just look at the roster that they had too. Jacob Cowing, so many other amazing players. The UTEP's best kicker in history, Gavin Beckley. We could go on and on. I'll be here for minutes talking about the names, but no, I still got to go bowling.
Yeah, I think it's the bowling one. Oh man, that's a tough one. That's tough. Oh, that's really tough. Let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. Trolley Dodger is next up on the phone lines. Trolley has been joining us all season long, joining us on Minor Talk, chiming in on the show. He's won some great contests here in the past as well on Minor Talk. Trolley, welcome aboard to Minor Talk. What's going on, man?
Hey, thanks for the intro, Adrian. What a season, bro. I think you had a question where would you rate this season with a letter grade? I mean, it was underachieving. I don't know what letter grade to give it, but it was underachieving because when we started off 5-0, I mean, forget about the arts and crafts victory and the other one, Big Mac State. but when we got UC Santa Barbara, Austin Peay, whatever, okay, you know, they were – okay, they're a D1 school, and then we took it to Cal. All right, you know, there was hype. You know, there was hype. And then Zid Powell played so great. And he's new. You know, he was a transfer portal, and he was so great against UC Santa Barbara, man. And then they laid an egg against Loyola Marymount, and you could tell, like, hey, okay, they're gassed or whatever. But there was promise. They even won Norfolk State, who came to the Sun Bowl Classic. They're the number one seed in their conference. I'm just saying to the fans that say, hey, why don't we, you know.
Yeah, it's a good point. They're going to be dancing.
They were the number one team, dude. No, they're not. I think they got canceled. But anyways.
Oh, okay. Anyways.
anyways. it was an underachieving season, but they made a great run, especially with the last three. I mean, if you can remember some of the tweets, you know, I know you get a bunch of them, but I was like, yo, I am back in. I am back in three in a row, and the fan got in his face. But you know what? I want to say something about the fan getting in his face, because Joe Golden didn't tell the security guard to say, hey, get that guy out of here. He got back in his face, you know, and he defended himself. And he defended himself in front of his team. And he said, and that was basically like, dude, you know what? I don't care. We're not going down. I'm not dead yet either. And I really do think that, you know, he didn't say, hey, get security, get that guy out of here, you know, this and that. No, he defended himself. He said, F you, bro, get out of here. F you, try to do this, you know, this and that. And I think the team was like, yo, what's up? That wasn't a PR response. That was a, you know,
this is a real response. This is amazing, Charlie. Keep going. This was a real response.
And then they came up. And how did they respond when they beat in the conference tournament, their first one against Liberty? Yo, with the fingers in their mouth. We're not talking yet, you know? We're not talking yet. Hold up real quick. We got more work to do. It made a difference. And I know we made a bunch of wisecracks about that, the Golden and the fan and this and that. But you know what? I'm not giving props to the fan. I'm giving props to Golden, dude. Like, you know what? Stand up. You don't have to be. You're a man too, dude. Like, F you. Get out of here. What up? And maybe he didn't even kick him out. But he just, what up, bro? Come on. Anyways, I'm running out of breath.
Anyways, man, Charlie Dodger. How are we finishing this season?
Adrian, you guys are dope. Steve, John, of course, is the king. And I really am looking forward to next season. David Terrell. What happened to Elijah Moore? I'll hang up. I want to listen to that.
You know what? I think Elijah Moore got traded to the Jets from the Cleveland Browns, but Elijah Jones.
I'm just kidding.
Elijah Jones. Good stuff, Charlie Dodger. I really appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for weighing in on the show with us, man. Hey, Elijah Jones did not play to close out the season, really. I mean, he didn't play the three Conference USA Tournament games, and so, he was an all-conference USA player, but you heard from Golding after the game that they want him to get bigger, they want him to play tougher, and they want him to get better, period. Just simply put. So, there you go. As far as Elijah Jones, that's how they feel about him, and I think he comes back next year just based on the fact that he already went from East Carolina to UTEP, didn't have a ton of film this year, so it's not like he's going to parlay this into a bigger, in my opinion. So, in my thoughts, I think Jones comes back next year. Let's keep it moving. 915-505-6009. A couple other posts to get to. Joe Chacone. How do I describe this? The season started out with a bang and then finished. Then it was a roller coaster ride all the way to the end of the season, finishing with the first road wins leading into the conference tournament. Odds stacked against them to go to the final. And as a minor fan for a long time, it sparked a memory and excitement that I haven't had in this university in a long while. The taste of success. A victory, and a chance for a ticket to the big dance. While it wasn't meant to be, it felt like it was why can't it be us? I feel like this team finally asked themselves this question at the end of the season, and well, they almost did it. It's hard to pinpoint the X's and O's because that's the coach's job. But as a huge and lifetime minor fan, I want to say thank you to not only the entire UTEP basketball team, but also Joe Golding for giving me the reason to scream at the TV and yell to be proud to be minor strong as the season ended with huge upside and hope. Let's focus on that positive and continue to grow. Adrian Sal, do I need to call in for this tweet? Hashtag EP bound in 4 days. No, you don't need to call in, although we'd love to hear from you, Joe Chacone. So there you go, man. I appreciate it.
Hey,
let's keep
real quick, Adrian, I just want to say something. There was an interesting message in that tweet that he had. He said, while it wasn't meant to be, it felt like it was. And I was telling Alberto this kind of felt like, you know, when you play the lottery and for like you know, 10, 15 minutes, you just wonder and think about what it would be like and what you would do. And you got to feel good about yourself. And they gave us that 15 minutes, so to speak, especially when they had the lead, you know, in the second half, midway through it. So I just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, that's a really good line right there, because it felt like it should have been. It felt like it was meant to be. It really felt like it was meant to be. Yesterday, I can't tell you how many texts and calls and, you know, posts we got yesterday and thoughts we saw. Dez Bryant gave UTEP a shout out today. I mean, the whole world, it felt like, was talking about UTEP basketball. And I love the quote from Joe Golding afterward. If woke up the beast that is the UTEP basketball fan base. And yeah, everybody was intently watching. I got texts all around watching this game, and everybody was hoping that the Miners would make a run and actually win it in the Conference USA Tournament Championship game. They didn't do that, and so let's see what happens next. Let's see, you know, what they could do to build upon this. Back to the phone lines. Let's go to Johnny, who's joining us next. Then we'll get to Brian. Johnny, good evening, man. Thanks for weighing in on the show. What's going on?
Hey, my pleasure. Hey, guys. Good to be here. I want to thank you guys for a great year. I want to thank UTEP for a great year as well. We started out kind of rough, but the end of the season was wonderful, even with the loss. Great games, great players. Full disclosure, I'm related to Hardy. So just let you guys know.
Okay.
Hey.
All right. I like it.
Okay, last year he came here hurt, you know, so shooting shoulder messed up. I know you guys were out on him, but this year, you know, he came in, you know, and I thought he put up good numbers for the team. He was heartbroken after this loss. I was at the game. The refs, so you can't blame the refs. They were horrible. Guys were jumping. They were hacking. I had even the West Kentucky guys coming up to me, to my man. They didn't want y'all to win, did they? So it was like that. And but moving on from the refs, I just want to say, Coach Golding, he's been great to us and this year. And back to you guys, and like I say, I wanted to call in last year when y'all were talking about my son, but I didn't. I'm glad y'all came aboard this year, though. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yeah, we got you. I mean, Johnny, let me tell you this, Johnny. I just want to say this. Last year, I think people had this certain expectation. And I, you know, me as the reporter, I didn't realize how injured Tay was. And I even asked him before the season started, did you, you know, reflect back on last year and understand how injured you were? And I talked to a lot of coaches and players about this around the team, not him directly, but others. And they were telling me, I mean, look, he came off that shoulder injury that he suffered against Southern Miss. You don't realize that shoulders take a while to come back from. And when I was talking to everybody, they were saying, like, hey, look, he went through this. And when I asked Tay this question, he said, actually, no, I was fine last year. You know, and that's what I love about Tay. He never made excuses. He never made it about him. He never made it about, you know, doing different things of making all-conference USA or hidden achievements and stuff like that. So that's when I was all bought in, as not just him as, you know, a basketball player, but him as a person. And that's when I realized, like, this guy's going to make money playing this sport for the future. And this guy is a true professional. And I'm a big fan of Tay Hardy. There's no excuses. There's no, it's not about him. It's about winning. And he'll do it at some point. I know that, you know, in college, winning was tough for Tay Hardy. But I think that he's going to do it someday. And he's going to reap all the benefits. I mean, he is a winner, you know, despite all the losses that he's had here last year, and then this year. It's been a roller coaster ride, but I think it all culminated into a successful run in the CUSA tournament. And for all that, Johnny, I'm pretty proud of, you know, your relative in Tay Hardy, who has really made an impact on UTEP. I will say that out of everybody on this roster right here, he's the true minor here, who's going to leave as a graduating senior, and a lot of people are going to really appreciate.
Yeah, great year. It's a great year. Thank you guys so much. Yeah, I'm done. Talk to you later.
Talk to you later, Johnny. Good stuff. Let's go to Brian next on the phone lines, 915-505-6009. Brian, good evening, man. What's going on?
What's going on, gang?
Oh, what's going on, Brian? How are you?
I'm doing, I'm very devastated because I was watching on TV, but other than that, I've been all right.
All right, man.
It was really heartbreaking to watch.
It was, because, man. You tell me your thoughts
on it.
Because
like they said on Twitter, basically the refs were worse than El Paso High School basketball's refs.
Yeah, it was bad officiating.
It was really bad. But like you guys were mentioning earlier about letter grades, personally, if you ask me, I think I'd give it probably a B minus. Because early in the year, like you all were saying, we looked really strong, especially against like those small schools like Austin Peay. Sorry, Coach Walden, but still. And when we beat Cal, that was a huge moment. And then after that, it kind of just fell off, like you all were saying. Honestly, in February, I thought I was going to give the team an F, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Once things started to turn around. What?
I said, I hear what you're saying. All right, get to what are you going to close out with here, my man?
Basically, how I'm going to close out the season is we did a good job, even though we fell short to the Hilltoppers, which is still very disappointing after what happened in football in the fall. But seriously, really good effort from the whole team, especially Dave Hardy. Like you were saying, the guy that's well-built to make it into the pros. Thanks for having me, though. See you guys later.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate you calling in, Brian. Thanks for weighing in. 915-505-6009 as we continue. Let's keep it moving. Twitter next is continuing right now. 600 ESPN El Paso. A couple other posts to get to. We're going to get to Patrick here in just a second. This is coming right now here on the program. 915-505-6009. Noah Guerrero, Minor Talk After Dark. Shout out Trolley Dodger. Man, Noah, if you only knew, man. Shout out to Charlie Dodger. That's exactly right. Richard J., not even including a home loss to Texas A&M Corpus Christi, they also had a horrible loss this year to Abilene Christian. Third year, four seniors, very bad conference with only nine teams, and you are under 500 in conference and had to count on a five-game win streak to close out the season to have a above 500 record. This is an F of a season right here. Man, harsh grader from Richard J. This is from Esteban. As a mechanical engineer, I agree with Alberto. A C. I don't think Alberto said that. That was Sal who said that, but he agrees with Sal.
Yeah.
All right, Sal, you jump in.
I said a B plus.
Okay.
Yeah, he said B plus.
So
that was Sal. You jump in on that, Richard J. Sal.
You know what? It's hard for me to say that because let's say they do well in the regular season. How about this? We said it earlier. Let's say they have a season like Sam Houston does or a season like Louisiana Tech does, and they do amazing in the regular season, and then they bow out the way they do. What are you going to say then? It's not really going to matter. It's a one-bid league. UTEP had a better chance of making the tournament than the top two teams in Conference USA did. So at the end of the day, it's really a moot point for what they did in the regular season. Maybe you still have a sour taste in your mouth because of some of the frustrating games like the loss at Florida International, the sweep, them getting swept against Midland, Western Kentucky on the road. That I understand, but what they did in the postseason tournament completely erased, in my opinion, all of the bad that they did, and that's why I gave them the passing grade. I can't get upset at them for that and then doing well in the tournament when we've seen them do well in the regular season and then completely fault in the tournament. So I'll take a successful run or a deep run, I'll say that, in the Conference USA tournament over a good regular season.
I agree with that completely. I think that's very true. This is from Esteban. His one word to describe the season, Valle. I love it. Emo mixtape. I've never seen this Twitter follow. I love it. Andy is chiming in on the show. Crazy that UTEP was one win away from going to the big dance. All the games throughout the tournament, and they really reminded me of the Bears team back in the day. They played with so much grit. Hashtag minor talk. This is coming in from Deo. Number one, I would use failure to describe this season. Number two, it doesn't matter without a coaching change. And then no year four, take a look in the stands. The program is on life support right now. Man, this is coming in from the text truth, calling or describing all heart to describe this team. Angry Dana Dimmel. Wow, we haven't seen him in a while. Adrian, to add to your gloomy, don't take this run for granted approach. Conference USA welcomes 2023 tournament team Kennesaw State next season. That's right, man. That's right. I mean, this the conference is only going to get better, in my opinion. Angry Dana Dimmel. This is coming in from D. Good Person. If the Miners can recruit two great guards and two great big men, they can win the conference next year. Currently eligible players would have to stay, though. Big if. NCAA has screwed up college sports. Greed wins again. The USA USA loses again. The Texas Truth. Love to see Otis, Terrell, Camper, and Horton back. Congratulations to all these great guys and young men who gave it their all to the city. Good job, Joe Golding, in leading this team to the conference tournament championship. This is coming in from Emart. You do realize this team lost 16 games in arguably the weakest league in the nation. Because of the portal, this team will not resemble anything of this year's team. This team always is in a bad shooting team. They need to recruit shooters. This is coming in from Trek. Excited for the team, except for the fact that the transfer black hole portal may kill us like it did for football. It didn't kill him for football. Let's just say that. It didn't. It didn't kill him for football whatsoever. Back to the phone lines we go, 915-505-6009. Let's go to Patrick, who's joining us next. Patrick, good evening, man. What's going on? Thanks for weighing in on the show.
Oh, not too much. You know, golly, I think I lost hair and got gray hair these past few days, man. Those guys, I never seen a team that is so tremendous and making the opponent turn the ball over, but then come back and turn the ball over themselves. Oh, my God.
Carelessly.
You talk about a roller coaster. So I guess this is what I'm leading to is I think that the players have bought into Joe Golding's system. I really do, because that defense, I mean, at a lot of time, it was smothering this tournament. It was smothering, and it got a lot of turnovers. But if I'm having a, you know, my exit interview with if I'm Jim Center, and I'm having my exit interview with Joe Golding, I'm asking him, you know, Coach, how do we go forward? How do we go forward, and what is it that we need to do? And I don't, as Jim Center, I don't need to hear, well, we just got to get better, or that's all on me. I don't need to hear that. If it's me, what I need to hear is that 90% of the kids that you bring aboard better be able to handle the ball. That's the first thing I think that needs to happen. We got to have kids that can handle the ball, whether you're a big or you're a guard. We have to take care of the ball. That's our Achilles heel. I know we can't shoot the three that well. I know we can't shoot free throws that well, but we do. We have to take care of the ball. And if I'm Jim Center, that's what I think that I need to hear. Hey, okay. You guys have done a great job this year. I'm going to hand it back to you, and I want to hear your thoughts. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it, Patrick. Thanks for weighing in on the show, 915-505-6009. It's an interesting thought, and I think that Jim Center will have that thought. You know, how are you moving forward? And I would say, who are you moving forward with? That would be my other question, Sal, is it's not about how are you moving forward. It's like, wait, who are the guys that you're going to go to war with again to try to run this back? Because, yeah, you can't take a Tay Hardy for granted, who made All-Conference USA, a Zid Powell, who they went after and spent money on to get over here with NIL dollars. I mean, you can't take those things for granted, and now you got to do it again. So you have to go back and get more of those types of players right there and have more success in the future. That's tough right there.
Yeah, and four guys who are leaving the program, two of them saw extensive minutes throughout the season, none more than Tay Hardy, Mr. 37, 38 minutes per game, almost night in and night out. Zid Powell, playing a good amount of minutes. Dos Anjos, not too many minutes, but to no fault of his own, just a guy who had to battle some injuries, unfortunately, throughout his UTEP career. And in my opinion, similar to John Teicher's, where he mentioned that if that injury never happened in Austin at the Moody Center against the Longhorns, who knows what else he could have done with his program and how much more of an impact he could have made. So we really just saw a small sample size of Dos Anjos. And the other guy, Solomon, a guy who was relied upon, for most of his tenure here. He didn't see it too much this season, but, a guy who Golden trusted to be out there at various times this year as well, and a veteran at that too. So definitely some guys that you're going to be missing for sure next year in one way or the other.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Let's keep it moving. Mason is next on the phone lines, 915-505-6009. Before we get to Mason, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification. You're listening to Minor Talk, brought to you by the Oscar Audi at the Agency. We'll get to awards here in just a little bit, along with more phone calls here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Mason is next up on the phone lines. Mason, good evening, man. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Adrian? Well, I guess the boat has come to an end. They have nowhere else to row, and this end of the season is here. But a couple of things I wanted to talk about is, it was a good season. I watched the game at the district. It was popping. A lot of good fans there.
Nice.
You can tell that people are hungry for a good minor team. But, people put a lot of pressure on Coach Golding. But at the end of the day, it really comes down to UTEP athletics department in general. How can the longest school in Conference USA, not expect to get to the finals, with teams that have been in the conference for 1 year, 2 years, a Sam Houston or a Liberty, those people, those schools have better facilities than UTEP will ever have. So I think it comes down to UTEP, getting kids to come to El Paso and selling the school. You go to the Don Haskins Center and it's outdated. The facilities are kind of old. Yeah, they have a new facility for basketball, but it's nowhere near where some of these schools are at. So I think 100%
agree.
I think the turning point for the program is somehow for the athletic department to kind of sell out and find a way to get this funded, as well as, getting NIL money and such. But it's just kind of sad. My dad grew up in the going to the 80s basketball games, and, they were excited to go to the championship. That, it's kind of a slap in the face. We should expect to be there. So I don't know. What's your take on all that?
Yeah, it's actually a great thought. Mason, I appreciate the phone call, man. Thanks for weighing in on the show. Your points right here are really, I think actually we should have led with a lot of these points right here, because it's not about just the coaching staff. It's about the department buying in on this too, and, willing to realize that they're a little bit behind the times in some of their resources and where UTEP's at and some of their different things, and realizing, hey, it's not just them going off and getting NIL money through these collectives. It's also on us to put out something that continues to build a winner. Joe Golding talked earlier this year about just the as simple as this sounds, but practicing more at the Don Haskins Center. To us, it might sound like, well, don't they have it open all the time? But just how difficult that was in just period. I mean, to practice at your own home floor, that's really tough to hear. And I want to see just resources and honestly the support come from the athletic department and continue with the athletic department with this men's basketball team, whether it's commitments to renovating the facilities. I mean, Alberto, this is like right up your alley right here. It's not only not only just UTEP having this success through resources and stuff stuff like that, but their athletic department chiming in and helping out with resources. Sal, we've talked about this as well. I mean, whether it's just upgrading facilities or a commitment from your fan base and stuff like that, yeah. It just has to come full circle, and the athletic department has to help fuel this right here.
Yeah, and the investment in the program is much more than just trying to, I guess, quote-unquote, buy a good team right through an NIL. There's all other parts that need to be affected by it, and when you're bringing guys in on a recruiting trip and they see the facilities, and you know, if it's, I think UTEP is lucky if it's the first, you know, trip that a player makes, because they're getting to make that first impression, as opposed to let's just throw out an idea. Let's say UTEP and Liberty are after the same recruit, and a player visits Liberty first. They're going to see what that campus is like. And also, too, aside from that, they're going to look at the recent history and success that they've had within the last, what, decade or so, and, you know, make their decision based on that. But facilities has definitely got to be a big one because, yeah, it's cool to go out there and try to get the blue-collar guy, somebody who's going to work hard. But the interesting thing is guys like that are not going to be around, you know, long in a portal or out there when it comes to recruiting. You can only strike, no pun intended, you can only strike gold on those, you know, every now and then. That can't be a year in and year out thing. You got to have something to get guys to go to your program other than we work hard.
Yeah, and it means a lot to people. To some who just shrug and just like roll their eyes at this stuff, it means a lot to recruits. It means stuff to these people right here. So, and you're trying to get these people to buy into your program. So yeah, that's really important. Esteban says, I love the Don as is. I agree with that, Esteban. I love the Don as is as well, but I think that they do need a little bit of facility upgrades to the Don, and whether that's adding luxury box seats up top. I mean, again, that benefits the small few, but it could lead to sponsorship dollars that end up feeding the program in other ways. And then you're talking about the Foster Stevens, beautiful facility, no doubt about that. But I'm also talking about a separate facility, or, you know, just more resources that the team could tap into that they can use moving forward. I think that's the argument that I'm trying to make. And it starts with, you know, with more help from the athletic department. I think the athletic department does a good job of supporting men's basketball. I just think that if they're going to make the next step, you look at some of the other schools and what they have to offer, UTEP needs to be right there as well. Sal, is Alberto back yet? I want to get his thoughts on this.
No, he's not back yet.
Okay,
but,
no worries. We'll get to Alberto later on here. No worries. Let's keep him moving. This is coming in from Joe Chacon. He's going to use inconsistent to describe this team. Didn't have enough gas, but they gave it their all to end the season. Number two, he says, every freshman coming back next year, but please, we need Hamilton. A huge spark from the bench, but he's a starter. Also, he says in year four, he wants a conference regular season championship and conference tournament championship. Wow. Wow, Joe. I mean, that's a lot. That's a lot to ask.
That's an undefeated season.
Yeah, undefeated season, 31-0 right there. I like it. He's also asking for Pinky for drinks and me for drinks and Sal for drinks on Friday. So there you go, Joe Chacon. Maybe we'll have to make something happen at the district or something. But I appreciate you, man. Thanks for chiming in on the show. 915-505-6009. It seems like we're starting to wind things down here on the show. We'll get to some awards here in just a little bit. I know that we've got the transfer portal preview to hit right now. Sal, as far as my 1, 2, and 3 go, as far as the guys I want back next year, it's been this way probably, you know, a lot throughout the season, and I'll just maintain it. I think I had maybe one or two changes, but this is the order in preference of player that I want to come back. Number one, David Terrell. Number two, Otis Frazier III. And number three, Corey Camper Jr. Those are the three I want back next year. Derek Hamilton, if you want to throw him over Corey Camper, sure. He's probably my number four or five. And Elijah Jones would also be in my top five as well. Or no. I would put Trey Horton in my top five before I'd put Elijah Jones. Excuse me. I would definitely put Horton in that mix right there. So I'd go Camper, Frazier, Terrell, Hamilton, and Horton. And some order right there. But where would you go, Sal? Am I leaving anybody out that you would throw in?
I would probably throw in Elijah Jones. I think he's somebody who I have in the top three. It's hard because three is really difficult. I think five is kind of better because you can feel the starting lineup with that. But if I had to go three, I'll do that, and then I'll name the honorable mentions, so to speak. David Terrell, number one, without a doubt. No questions asked. If there's one person out of this entire roster who's eligible to come back, I think that's number one. Number two, in my opinion, would be Corey Camper, just the upside that he has, and also the veteran that he is now. He'll be a senior next year, so somebody that you could hope to rely on in terms of being a leader. And then I said this earlier, and I got to stick with the hype train on it, and that would be Elijah Jones, number three. So
nice.
It's tough. I do want to put Frazier in there. That would be honorable mention. Then, of course, Hamilton. So same list as you, just a different order. However, without a doubt, if there's one person, it's got to be David Terrell.
Okay, Junior. I like it. I got you down on that one. I like it. I like the list, and I think it's going to be interesting. I mean, look, there's always one player who you don't expect to hit the portal who hits the portal. Last year, the guy who I didn't expect to hit the portal was Zarek Onyema, and he hit the portal, you know, at some point. And then, of course, the portal opened up in 3 days, and that's just something that you got to turn around and be embracing, whether it's something that they get a player quickly out of the transfer portal and capitalize on this momentum, or on the flip side of all of this right here, maybe they end up losing a player or two that they didn't anticipate losing, and it's not really to UTEP's fault, it's just the reality of the situation.
And you know what, too, Adrian, to that point, right, guys from UTEP that may leave in the portal, Coach Golding can flip it around when he's on his recruiting trips and say, hey, we made it to the Conference USA Championship.
Exactly.
You are the missing piece to what this team needs to win that championship and go to the dance. So there's that, too. I think this finish in the Conference USA tournament is obviously more helpful than what they were doing in the middle of the year.
No, I agree with that completely. I think it's a really good point, too. I think now the recruiting pitch is stronger from Joe Golding's perspective, so that's a really good highlight there, Sal. Also want to mention this one from El Paso Visuals Deportivos. UTEP didn't win, but the program left the fan base in El Paso hungry and excited for more and made the gente believe in the people and the possibility of what can be if fans just support a little more. Team, let the 915 be proud of this team and the dream the last couple of days. This city needed that. Thanks, UTEP men's basketball. That is chiming in on the show as we continue. 915-505-6009 and 600 ESPN El Paso on Twitter and X. Let's go to our hot hand of the game. This is brought to you by Wind Supply El Paso. Big shout out to Renee Tidez and Wind Supply El Paso for joining us all season long for this award right here. We can go in different ways. We could go with a Otis Frazier III. We can go with a Tay Hardy. And I think that's where we're going to go with this one. We're going to go, actually, you know what? I'm going to go spin zone. I'm going to go Derek Hamilton, seven Ooh. Points off the bench here. He also was 3-for-3 from the free throw line, 13 minutes of action. And Sal, I felt like Derek Hamilton was the spark today. Am I wrong? Did I get this one wrong right here? Would you have gone elsewhere?
It's hard to say, but just at the volume that he had, not the volume, the efficiency, I think that's a better way to put it. I'm not upset with that choice.
Yeah. Okay, let's do it.
I have
it.
An honorable
Derek
mention.
Hamilton.
I would
okay,
say Trey
who's your
Horton,
honorable?
Maybe honorable mention,
oh,
but,
that's a great
but
one.
Hamilton.
That's a great one.
No, I think he was reliable much more than, and no disrespect, but just slightly more reliable than Horton tonight, who was more reliable than some of his counterparts. So, yeah,
yeah, I'll
mention.
Say this about Horton. I think, 6 points in 7 minutes. I mean, talk about a spark right there. So really good stuff by Trey Horton. He could have easily been hot hand of the game as well. Really good point there, Seth. Let's go Derek Hamilton, hot hand of the game, presented by Wind Supply El Paso. Hey, check out windsupplyelpaso.com for all your air conditioning needs, whether you're a business out there looking for a trusted, reliable HVAC system supplier. It's Wind Supply El Paso. Check out the Find a Dealer tab online at windsupplyelpaso.com. Now, our player of the game, it has to be Zid Powell. 21 points, 7-for-10 from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 turnovers, 2 steals, 31 minutes of action. I thought he left it all out there tonight. 4 rebounds in this matchup. He was 5 for 13 from the field. He just simply was putting his head down and trying to work. And, you know, trying to go bucket for bucket against McHenry is almost impossible, Sal. They chose to go with Zid Powell to be the guy to do this. And you know what? You live by this and you die by it. And I didn't think they died necessarily by having Zid Powell be the guy. But I still think that what he was able to do in this one was really valuable. I really also thought that he put all his best performances here in the Conference USA Tournament. So this is more of a tournament award than maybe this specific game award. But yeah. Again, Zid Powell showed up in this matchup, led the Miners in scoring with 21.
No, I liked it. And a guy who made the tournament team for Conference USA, and then, you know, rightfully so, he earned that recognition and was able to put the team on his back when the Miners needed a bucket, you know, or some form of momentum. He was able to provide that for him. And you said it best. It's kind of hard to go bucket for bucket with McHenry, who was extremely efficient tonight, 25 points, 9 for 16. And he's doing it in 35 minutes, so you're not really getting a break from him. But no, Zid Powell, an incredible and respectable performance. So yeah, it's hard to find anybody else when it comes to player of the game.
Okay, let's go to our final questions here and our final thoughts with both Sal Montes, Alberto Retta back at our River Oaks Property Schoolyard Sports Studios. All right, guys, let's ask you this one. I'll throw this one your way, Sal. Using one word, just one word only, to describe this whole team and this whole season, 2023-24 season, how would you describe this year?
You know what? It's one word by default, and if not, I'm gonna use a backspace and get rid of that space in between it. But I'm gonna say roller coaster. There were highs and there were lows,
yes,
in this season. And roller coasters can be fun. They could be really scary. So that's gonna be mine right there.
I like it. A roller coaster of a season for Sal. That's how he's going to describe it. I'm going to describe it resilient. I mean, even when they're down 14 with 13 to go against Sam Houston State, the number one team in the conference, even though they're down, you know, double digits against Liberty here in the first round or the quarterfinals of the tournament, they were resilient and they won those games. And even this game, even the team that they played was better than them, they were resilient in trying to come back. They started off terribly and they came back and they were resilient. So I'm going to give them credit for that. I'll use the word resilient to describe this team in just in one word. Sal, who do you want back? We kind of covered that there. We kind of covered, you know, the players that they need here in the transfer portal. So number three, what is your biggest hope in year four of Joe Golding? What is for next season? What is your biggest hope for this next year's team to do? Is it play more consistently in the regular season and have a good showing in the turn? Where are you at right here for this one?
We all know Conference USA is a one-bid league. Teams can be incredible in the regular season, but if you get hot at the right time, no matter what you did throughout the season, it's going to bode well for you, and none better than Western Kentucky, who wasn't even number one in Conference USA in the regular season, but they put it together. Sure. and win the tournament for Conference USA. So I'm going to say win the Conference USA tournament. That's my hope. I mean, you're a step closer to it. Obviously, there's a variety of factors that can lead to changes, whether it be good or bad, whatever it is. However, you've gotten this close, and you saw what it took. It's just playing solid defense and, you know, making some shots in tough times. I think if they can be slightly better on offense next year, that defense is going to get better if it's not good at the beginning of the year. I'm going to bank on that defense. They're going to be solid at some point. They just got to be more efficient on offense. So, give me a Conference USA championship. There's after you make it, what else can you ask for? None other than that.
Nothing else than that. My hope for next year is that they add a quality big man, and maybe they did with Jorge Moreno, but I want them to get a quality big man who could start for them and play routine minutes and be an impact offensively. That's one. Another hope I have is that they recruit a high-level scoring guard who's going to help them carry the way and be an all-conference caliber guard. That's number two. My other hope is that non-conference play features a schedule that will quit fans from having fans bitching at us about all the different opponents that they're playing, or, you know, the caliber of it. Give me some quality names there so at least the fans will stop this because I know how hard it is to schedule make, at least from the coach's perspective. So that's number three. Number four, I want the assistant coaches to make a real big impact in recruiting like they have here in the past, but, you know, maybe bring in a player on a higher caliber that's never really been into this program before. I want them to tap into the NIL potential like they've never had before as well, and maybe even gain more, you know, kind of like contributions, you know, for NIL. Zay even chimed in on this as well. So that would be one of those things as well that I would say as far as this UTEP basketball team. And then my last hope is peak at the right time. This year they peaked at the right time, and that's in March. But my last hope is peak at the right time next year, and it's going to be next March where they're going to have to do that. In the Conference USA tournament, like you said, Sal, try to make it to the tournament final and win it this time. So let's see if that happens here for year four. They need to recruit some difference makers in order to do that, and there's a lot of work that needs to be put in here between now and the start of the next season for this men's basketball team to take the right steps in that direction. And I think that, you know what, this year ignited the fan base yet again, and let's see what how this carries over to next year. So that turns the page on another season, another, you know, great couple months of forget that. I mean, we were doing this all the way back in August, So what a run.
Wow,
it's year
man.
Five. We're back at it this year. It's going to be another season of Minor Talk for football, and then we'll do it again year four of Joe Golding. So until then, man, it's been a great one, man. I really enjoy doing this with you, with Alberto, with Zay, with all our team at 600 ESPN El Paso.
Yeah.
It's always a treat, and we don't take this job for granted. We talk about don't take these players for granted. We don't take this job for granted. At least I don't. And so really appreciate this, man, and always great working with you, Sal.
It's always a pleasure, Adrian. Another year in the books, and you know, feeling better about it, you know, than we did in the middle of the season. So we got to see, you know, some highs, we got to see some lows, but you're right, man. Everybody who tunes in and tweets us, sends us messages, whatever the case is, we're super grateful. Everybody who's taking part in you know, in our broadcast, you know, whether helping us out, calling in, whatever the case is, even our Twitter spaces when that was still around. I'm pretty sure you all know what that is, our video chats and Zoom calls. So I do want to give a special shout out as well to Jason Craig who helped us out too. So thank you guys. You know, you all have made this special, and you know, gonna do it again come August.
That's right, we will. Hey, and that'll do it for us here tonight. I think that's just about it. Sal, I think it was you know, a really interesting Minor Talk. I know Minor fans were hoping for a win, but that'll just about do it for us here on the program. Hey, for Alberto Retta, for Zay Galindo, for Sal Montes, I'm Adrian Broaddus. We are signing off and saying so long for listening to Minor Talk this entire season. We'll be back next year right here on 600 ESPN El Paso.